Right, guys, let's get on to the movies now, and let's just try and, I guess, keep it at a good pace. So
yeah, I was saying to Joe before you got back when we went for the little break, I was saying I'll be surprised if even one of mine appears in either of yours, because I definitely didn't go with like this is good because of this. I was struggling with this too much, kept making a list, changing it. And I eventually just took that list, threw it in the bin and went, right, what films have I watched loads of times and could watch again loads of times and just put them down?
Well, on that note then, Ted, why don't you go first?
Okay. There was a few, like, I'm going to stick away from honourable mentions, but like Hook was mentioned earlier and that nearly made it. But and so did Jurassic Park, but Snatch was the first one that I put down.
Yeah, no, good movie. Wouldn't make my top 10 now, but it is a good movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. I don't think any of these will make any. Like, I think if we asked a million people, I'd be surprised if any of them had these in their top 10. It's just, as I said, I got sick of doing a list, getting annoyed about what it was, doing it again, and just went, right, that's it. Just films I've enjoyed, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe.
So me, I kind of went with the same approach as Ted. These are movies I could watch on a loop. I just love them, and I also think not only do I love them, but they actually are really good movies too. So one that I have on my list is, as far as I'm concerned, a modern classic, Inception.
Okay, good show.
I think that might actually make a few people's lists, to be fair. I think that was very well perceived, wasn't it?
Well, it should have been. It was a bloody awesome movie.
Yeah, no, I'm the same, guys. I picked some movies I picked that are personal favourites of mine, and some of them are, like, timeless classics, so...
Oh, no, none of mine are timeless classics!
Well, I'll go for my first one, then. I'm going to go with a timeless classic, and that's Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, quality movie.
One of the first movies I've seen as a kid. I mean, Shawshank was brought out in 94, which meant I would have been 10 years old. I watched it very close to when it came out, actually, because my mother and auntie worked in the Savoy Cinema. Yeah, so I got a one. We have illegal streams now. We also had illegal video guys going around in vans. Do you remember them guys?
I don't remember the vans, but I definitely remember getting the odd. Here you can have this. I've recorded it.
Yeah, no, Joe.
Never questioned where it was recorded. Just took it.
Joe, you know the guys I'm talking about, don't you?
I certainly do, yes.
Yeah, they come around in the blue van and you could rent a video from them for maybe 4 or 5 days, or they'd sell it to you at the right price. That's how I saw the Shawshank Redemption, and I remember it just sticking with me all through, you know, my whole life, and watching it even as an adult, I'm just like, wow. Tim Robbins, phenomenal actor, but Morgan Freeman as well.
Yeah.
Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Just a phenomenal, phenomenal film. So my pick is Shawshank Redemption.
So yeah, when I was doing a serious list, that was on it, and then I just was like, as I said, I had to give up because I just couldn't get it right.
Well, then give me your next one then, since you can't get it right.
Oh, I can't get any of these right. This one's just one from when I was younger that I absolutely loved. Mighty Ducks 2. It was so good, lads.
For fuck's sake.
Lads, so good.
You didn't even pick the first film, like.
Yeah.
No, because the second one's better.
It's not, like. You're
it is. The third one is dirt, like.
You're such a 90s. You're such a 90s kid, like.
Oh, yeah. I flat out am, yeah. No, the second one was definitely better, lads.
Right, Ian, what was your... Oh, no, is it mine turn next?
Yeah, we'll just exclude Ted from the rest of this conversation. He could just be...
You probably should. Like, Ted, if you see this list, I probably think I would have been excluded.
Ted, you should just be the host for the rest of the show, okay? That's the best. Go ahead.
Another big favourite of mine, starring the big man himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Predator.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yes. I mean, that's a who's who of actors in that. And not even actors, just absolute beasts.
Bodyguards.
Wow. I mean, Jesse Ventura is in there. Apollo Creed is in there. I'm not going to mention by his real name. It's Apollo Creed. Yeah, it's Apollo Creed starring in a movie. I told you Rocky's a documentary, didn't I?
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah.
Wow.
It's so quotable. as well. You know what I mean? It's just, I absolutely love that movie. Absolutely love it.
What does Jesse Ventura like the smell of in the morning?
What?
Fresh coffee.
No, what does Jesse Ventura in Predator like the smell of in the morning?
It's, I don't know, you've lost it.
It's one of the quotes.
Is it?
Yeah.
If you say it's napalm, I'm going to punch you in the face.
It's not napalm.
That's all right, because that's a completely different film.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know that as a quote, but definitely not from Predator.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Hang on. No, I'm going to get it exactly now, because now you motherfuckers have me worried that I'm just...
He offers around. I know he offers chewing tobacco to everyone, and they turn their nose up at it. And he says this stuff will make you a goddamn sexual tyrannosaurus.
Know that one. Yeah, obviously.
And it's like, you're hit, you're bleeding, man. Ain't got time to bleed.
Ain't got time to bleed. Yeah.
And some of the bitches dug in deeper than an Alabama tick. All right, well, give us your next movie anyway.
My next movie.
Yeah.
Or is it Ted? No, it's your turn. It is your turn.
It is Ian. Yeah.
I'm going with Back to the Future.
Oh, yes. The first one,
The first one, yeah. I mean, they're all quality. All three are quality, but the first one.
Oh, yeah. That's why I was like, were you able to distinguish which one? Because, yeah, they're all quality.
In fairness, I think two might edge out one, personally.
No.
But they're like, the two of them are brilliant.
No, I
would be kind of, that's, you know, they had, one, they had to get the basis right, and they couldn't take too many risks. And then two, they kind of had the basis already, and I think they were able to take a little bit more of a risk.
I suppose. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. And they were probably given a bigger budget for two as well.
Yeah, they've had a bigger budget.
I'm definitely wrong, guys. Like, Jesse definitely says, "I love the smell of gun smoke" or something. It's something thick, like. But I got the whole quote wrong, so I hold my hands up to that one, and I apologize.
All right, okay. I forgive you. I don't know if Ted can.
Well, it's my fucking show. I forgive me. So, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, man. I mean, Back to the Future. I mean, there's not enough I can say about that movie. It's still the most important movie, I think, for me in my life. You know what I mean? In terms of just when I went over to the States and went over to Orlando, all I was looking for was Back to the Future shit. E.T. is the same. So, yeah, Back to the Future is my one. So, Ted, off you go.
Yeah, I went with one that was kind of a bit newer than some of the ones we do, but I went with John Wick because I really did enjoy that. I just thought it was so well done. And there's been so many similar to it, but I think that one was just so well done.
Well, I mean, a man, like, it's a perfect reason for a man want to kill everybody is like...
Oh, don't get me wrong. I absolutely hate the start of it. I hated the fact that the dog had to die in it, but...
But it's as good a reason as any.
But it, like, I can completely understand why he'd react the way he did, because I was like, yeah, I'd fucking kill him.
Well, if that was Millie, and everyone knows who Millie is on this show, if that was Millie, I'm pretty sure I would fucking kill people. So
you wouldn't get a chance. Rachel would already be gone.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So yeah, I'm with John Wick on that one. I'm with you on that show. Ted, to be honest with you, I don't think that's a bad show at all. I think John Wick's actually just a great film, and I mean, the whole kind of coordinates in that film in terms of the movements and the fighting scenes are absolutely beautiful. So
yeah.
So
It. This is a quality movie. Yeah.
So Joe, it's up to you now.
Well, another favorite of mine. Starring two of my favourites that actually ended up in my top 10 actors is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that movie. A lot of people say that Raiders of the Lost Ark is the best, but I personally, for me, the Last Crusade, I'm old enough to have gone to see it in the cinema.
I think the Last Crusade is definitely better. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's by far the best, and I absolutely love it. And then, you had two great movies beforehand, but then what do you do for The Last Crusade? You bring in Sean Connery as his dad. Brilliant. Masterstroke. and he's phenomenal, and he's absolutely phenomenal in it. And just the way the two of them play off each other is brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's down to me then.
Yeah.
I'm going with one again. It's a nostalgia one. It's the first movie that I can remember as a kid, watching it with my grandfather and my father, and that is Jaws.
Yeah.
That's in my top 10 as well.
Yeah, Jaws is there purely. I'm a beach boy. You've got three Bray beach boys here on the podcast.
Thankfully, I was still allowed to go in the water after that. But
I was
and I am terrified of the sea.
I was allowed to go into the sea. However, I banned myself from the sea for a while at a young age. Because of that
film. No, I'm still afraid of the sea because of that movie.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it was my granddad was. It's funny because people always say, "Oh, Jesus, you're a good storyteller." I definitely get that from my grandfather, from my dad's side. A genius storyteller, amazing at being able to kind of put you in a scenario that you weren't in. Do you know what I mean? Especially as a young man, but just as a joke, and be like, yeah, you know, that happened down in Bray Beach. And I was like, that happened to some lad down in Bray Beach. So it was, for me, Jaws is one of the most, when I got to go over to Orlando there in October and kind of put my head in the Jaws statue, it's actually funny because Rachel, all you guys and girls now listening to the show should know who Rachel is. That's the better half of me. We'll tell you, I actually got quite emotional because they had the Jaws statue, you know, the little thing where it's hung up, that's in the building.
Yeah.
I put my head in that, and I got really, really emotional when I was standing beside that, because it was beside where the old Jaws ride used to be, and it's not there anymore.
Yeah, because it was on.
Yeah, it's gone now, yeah.
Yeah, it's gone.
But I was on it. I got on it before it was gone.
Yeah.
I never got on it. When I went over, it was gone by then as well, unfortunately.
And I never got to go on it. And it was just one of those moments where it was like, I thought of my granddad before the thing. So, yeah, Jaws is always going to be, A, one of the best movies of all time, but B, one of the personal movies to me too, so.
It's another one off my. It's one off my list because I have it in mind.
Okay. So Ted, that goes back to you. So,
yeah. This one, it's again quite recent. I don't know if either of you will have seen it, but it's a long watch, and it's a difficult watch in a certain way as well. Prisoners.
Brilliant film. Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very good film.
Phenomenal movie.
It's a tough watch as well. And I think, you know, I don't have kids or anything, but like, I can only imagine for someone who actually has kids, how tough that would be, like that whole situation itself would be.
Yeah. I believe, actually, Hugh Jackman, it's one of Hugh Jackman's finest movies in terms of his performance. I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal is phenomenal in it as well.
Yeah, and you see, the thing is, you have the two main guys, so obviously Gyllenhaal and Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, but Terrence Howard is deadly in it too, and Paul Dano.
Very good chill, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, when you think about that film, those are the two you kind of think about. But, you know, Hugh Jackman's character doesn't work in a sense if he doesn't have the other parent to kind of play off a bit.
Yeah.
Is it Paul Dano or Paul Dano?
I always said Dano, but it could be Dano as well. Yeah.
But anyway, he's phenomenal in it as well. Anyway.
Yeah, but I think Terrence Howard is the other father.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think Jackman's performance would be as good without him, because you've got the two opposite sides of the coin. You've got Jackman, who's right, I need to take this into my own hands because the police aren't doing it quick enough. And you can understand why a parent would feel like that. You know, their child is missing, they're scared, they'll do whatever, they think they know who's done it. And, you know, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do or it's the wrong thing to do, but you can understand why a parent would react like that. But then on the other side of the coin, you had Terrence Howard, who was playing the guy who was like, no, 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 like, don't be doing that. Like, the police will sort it and we can trust them and they'll get it done. And I think that that film is just, it's phenomenal. As long as it is and as tough as it is to watch, it's up there for me anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like when you said about earlier about The Grey having a great ending, that's another movie with a great ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. On a side note as well, just before we finish on Prisoners, Jake Gyllenhaal has beautiful hair in that movie. I just wanted to kind of...
Jesus Christ, right?
He definitely...
need to bring the conversation down.
To bring it up, man. To bring it up. We're talking about children going missing. What do you mean, bring it down? I'm talking about Jake Gyllenhaal's great hair. What are you talking about, Joe?
Well, in fair, he's a great actor, so...
Yeah, don't make me cut a promo on you. Come on. Jesus H. Christ. For me, number four is Angel Heart. Don't need to really mention any more about it. If you wanted me to kind of give you both of a guide as to what it's about.
I can't comment on it because I haven't seen it.
So basically, Mickey Rourke is a PD. He's a private detective in the movie. There's lots. It's a lot of it's based down in the deep fried south in New Orleans, Louisiana. And he's investigating an old crooner singer that's gone missing, and a lot of the roads are kind of leading to really kind of strange kind of occult kind of happenings, and I'm going to leave it there at that. Robert De Niro's in it as well. I don't need to give you any more, to be honest with you. That's enough. That should be enough to grab your interest anyway. He basically just looks into something and it leads him down a rabbit hole, and he gets into something he doesn't like getting into. So it's really, really good. It's prime Mickey Rourke. It's a young Robert De Niro. And it's phenomenal. So I recommend checking it out, guys.
Yeah,
I'll have to.
Yeah.
What would you have, Joe?
So another favorite of mine is The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Okay, I have this as well.
The best of the three, the best of the three, no?
What?
I'm not a big... sorry, guys, I could tell that the both of you are big Lord of the Rings guys. I found it to be the best of the three movies.
I think it is. I think the battle scenes in it are what makes it the best of the three.
But the story as well. I just found that... I loved it. I loved it.
It's absolutely amazing, and I think this is what some people were upset with in Game of Thrones recently, because they expected the big battle scene to rival Helm's Deep, but I think Helm's Deep is just, it was so well done.
To ask especially a TV show to live up to a Helm's
Deep. I know, yeah.
The battle is just, it's ludicrous, really.
That's the point, but people were expecting that to, them to be able to live up to that, and you just couldn't, because you've had so much, it was just done so perfectly as well.
It's especially in the extended edition, it's even better.
If you're not watching the extended edition, you're forget about it.
I just love that movie so much. I'd love to pick the entire trilogy, but
I think that's the best of the three.
The Two Towers is the best of the
three. The thing about it is, I'm the rule maker, and you could have got away with just picking the trilogy, and I wouldn't have given out. That's the funny thing.
I thought about it, and I thought about trying to sneak it in.
But then I said, if someone walked up to me and was like, Lord of the Rings, best film, there's no doubt in my mind. I'm never like, oh, well, it could be, or it could be. Like, Two Towers, every time.
Yeah, absolutely, Two Towers, yeah. No.
I went for, as number five, I've chosen Shutter Island.
Yeah, cracking movie.
Fucking amazing movie, actually. Very, very prevalent in today's day and age, with the whole era of mental health and things being out there in the open and stuff. Because when the movie was, and it was genius advertising as well, I have to say, from the from whoever, from whatever line of cinema that was advertising the movie, they had it like out to be this kind of weird horror movie. And then when you went to see it, it was anything but. Do you know what I mean? So I think a lot of people were initially disappointed when they went to see the movie, because obviously New Line Cinema or whoever it was that was advertising it, you know, you saw the old lady looking across, looking like with the finger to the mouth saying, shush. You thought it was a creepy movie. And then you realize, okay, this guy's a fucking psychopath, you know?
No, in fairness, the movie was marketed. It seemed to be marketed like a horror.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It was more of a psychological thriller than anything else.
It was Hitchcock at its finest, to be honest with you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
In my opinion. And I believe that it's one of the greatest psychological thriller movies of our generation. And I think someone like Hitchcock would be very fucking proud of it, to be honest with you. So,
yeah.
For that reason, I put Shutter Island as my my and that doesn't even go down as DiCaprio's, one of DiCaprio's finest performances. That goes down as one of every single actor's in that film's finest performances. It was just
Russell was brilliant. Yeah. And so was King's.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody in that movie was absolutely 10 out of 10.
We go with yourself again, Joe. Sure.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with my favourite comedy of all time, The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, big, good shout, yeah.
I absolutely love that movie. I when I watch it now, I laugh before the jokes happen.
And then I laugh you know again.
But then I laugh again when they do it. So I'm getting twice the laughs out of it now than I used to.
You're laughing because you know what's coming and then laughing because it's come up.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I get you.
It might sound a bit ridiculous, but yeah, I'd laugh twice as much at it now. Like,
I think loads of people would have that sort of experience, to be fair.
Oh, that's all right then. I'm not mad.
Like, maybe not with Big Lebowski, but I think everyone has, you know, a film that, you know, I know what's happening here 100% and they kind of get that themselves.
That's good to know.
I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, maybe not for the Big Lebowski, but I think everyone has at least one film that they've watched so many times that they know inside and out.
Anchorman for me, yeah.
What?
Anchorman would be like that for me. Do you know
who's in that?
Anchorman.
Yeah. Who's in that?
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd, yeah.
Yeah.
Who'd be the main guy in that?
Paul Rudd was my main guy in that.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. 60% of the time, he works every time in that movie, I have to say. So that would be my go-to guy. And Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell sneaking into your list now, is he, with Anchorman?
No, I just said I like that movie.
Listen, yeah,
next I like Fright Night, but none of the actors in Fright Night are going to make it to my list. Okay?
Fair enough.
So there you go. My number six... I believe it's me.
Wait, would this be your number five, would it?
No, number six, that Shutter Island. So I had Shawshank Redemption,
yeah,
Back to the Future, Jaws, Angel Heart, Shutter Island, and then number six is Goodfellas.
But are these going in descending order? So Shawshank was number 10, or was Shawshank your number one?
No, this list is in no particular order, as I said.
I get you.
It's just I'm keeping tabs to try and create some...
Keeping tabs, yeah, I get you.
Keep some form of order, you know?
Yeah, I get you.
Number six is Goodfellas for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, a quality movie.
Yeah, one of the most. You know, on a serious note, one of the fucking greatest films of all time. 1993. A who's who of the old mob actors back in the day. Joe Pesci at his finest. Robert De Niro at his finest. Of course... Henry Hill, played by Ray Liotta, probably his greatest performance in movies. Well, definitely, I would say. It's just all the old Sopranos actors kind of make an appearance there, and they made an appearance there before they made an appearance in Sopranos.
Hmm?
That's two Scorsese movies in a row for you now.
It is, actually. Yeah, there's a bit of a trend going on here. Yeah, I'm a Scorsese guy. I'm not gonna lie. I mean,
that's fair. A lot of good films.
Yeah, I mean, the Departed didn't make it into this movie for me, or into this movie list for me, should I say? Even though it was on the verge of doing so. Same with what was it? Aviator was another movie that could have made it in. Casino could have made it in, but no, Goodfellas had to make it in for me. So
yeah, it's a good show. The next one on mine would have been The Warriors.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Movie. Good show.
What a film, lads.
Good show,
yeah.
Ted. Good show.
I think it kind of gets forgotten about a bit on in people's minds until they see it or hear about it again. Oh, what a film, lads.
Yeah, it's quality. It's brilliant.
Dexter's dad before he was his dad.
The bottles on your man's fingers, like, that's you know, and that's just, it's a stupid kind of throwaway little bit, but it just became so iconic.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's a cracking movie.
Yeah, like when you're talking about gangster films, like, I know these aren't gangsters, but they're gangs, you know? When you talk about gangs, like, that's what you imagine kind of gangs would be like, you know, kind of squabbling over. I know that the film isn't based on squabbling over stupid things, but like a lot of the squabbles would have been over stupid things. You know, like, this is our turf and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what gangs would have been like.
Yeah, and also the baseball furies, you know, so iconic now as well. Like, even though if you saw a gang walking around like that, you go, what a pack of dopes.
Yeah. But they're walking around with baseball bats, so you don't want to say too much to them either.
Yeah, well, yeah, I suppose so. There is that, I suppose. But like, it's just such a good movie.
I'm pretty sure I could put a pretty good gang together.
Right.
To know, would they be as good as the Warriors?
I don't know. It depends on the listener now. If I say no, then there's going to be lots of listeners here that would be involved in professional wrestling that would give me shit in the morning.
would they be able to bop their way across town, would they?
Yeah,
well, that's the thing. I think, all right, Island. Well, Phil Boyd makes it into the list. He would definitely be able to bop his way across town because Phil can move. Joe, you would make
don't
it in.
Don't start putting a gang together. Jeez, we'd be here all night.
Joe, you would make it in, definitely.
Would I?
You would definitely make it in to be able to bop your way across town. Ted,
wouldn't fucking well out of a paper bag, Ian.
No, but you'd be able to bop, though. You'd be able to move. You'd be able to dance. And they liked that shit back in the day. Yeah, that'd be about it. I'll just get Paul Tracy and Fergal Devitt and the rest, and that'd be it. Like, John Moss, put him at the front. There we go. That's my gang. So Joe,
my gang.
Joe, now listen, don't be bringing him into it.
Ted, you're being very controversial. There you go again.
Yeah, Ted, I'm not even going to mention the man's name that you done that with now. So I mentioned Kevin Spacey and all earlier, but now you're taking it to a new level. So.
You're the one making a gang, mate.
Yes, but you know what I mean. I'm not, you know, I'm not making a song out of it. Joe, who's next?
Go with Joe, yeah.
Me again. I absolutely love this movie. Flopped at the box office, but has become a cult classic since. The Thing.
Oh, hell yeah. Kurt Russell, man. One of my favorite movies of all time. You know what?
Yeah.
One of my favorite directors of all time, John Carpenter.
John Carpenter, yeah.
I've seen every John Carpenter movie known to man, for sure. I love that guy, and you're 100% right. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut across you. Go ahead.
No, like it was before the time of CGI dominated stuff, and it still stands the test of time now. When it was made in what, 84, 85 or something?
82, I believe. Yeah,
82, was it that early? Like, you know, and it still stands the test of time now. It is so good. All the practical effects are amazing.
Do you know what? I'm actually going to check out what year The Thing was made. Now, that I was just guessing, so I'm just going to check it out. The Thing.
And another movie with an
82.
Unbelievable...
82.
Yeah, it was 82. Good man. But, you know, like, you want to talk about unbelievable endings. Jesus Christ, what a way to finish.
Yeah. Yes.
No. So it's mad how many of them flop at the box office. But go on to be so successful after that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I never, one thing I learned as a young man was to never go by either critics' opinions on fucking movies or by the box office ratings. I literally just wanted to watch every movie. Very, very similar to wrestling. I was always just hungry for movie knowledge and wrestling knowledge and music knowledge, and that was it. Football was just something that you'd watch every week. You know what I mean? And you guys seem to be in the same kind of category. You don't really give a shit about, you know, what critics said, or, you know, you just judge a movie for what it is.
Well, it's personal. Films are always just going to be personal opinion, you know.
Exactly, like, exactly. But yeah. So I think it's gone back to me because I gave Joe his head there, didn't I?
Yeah, it's your one now. Yeah.
I went for The Shining on the next one.
Yeah, cracking movie.
Talk about a twist.
One of the most disturbing movies I think I've ever seen, without a shadow of a doubt. Again, falls into the category of Stanley Kubrick, falls into the category of not necessarily horror, but like almost borderline horror, but psychologically thrilling.
It's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, but I mean,
Oh yeah.
But it's thriller and horror is what I mean. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's just flat out terrifying, that movie.
No, it is flat out terrifying. But listen, are you telling me that there's no thrillers that can be flat out terrifying?
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
Exactly.
The thing with that was, it was just, nobody was expecting the twist at the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, has anybody ever seen the film? I'm going to do a fucking show on this one time. I'm a big fan of old school horror, as you both know. And we're going to give a special mention to a buddy of ours, Greg Kelly Flanagan. He's going to be on at some point soon when we talk about the horror episode.
Yeah, big horror buff, that lad.
Big horror buff. But for me, like, one of my favourite horrors, I think I talked to Phil and Selmo on the show about this. Some of my favourite horrors, all the black and white movies, purely because of the suspense and how it does suspend disbelief. Do you know what I mean? It's like, this falls into the category of that for me. Has anyone ever seen Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
No.
Guys, I implore you, both of you, to watch Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. It's Bette Davis in her finest of moments in terms of acting. Jesus H. Christ, like, it's one of those movies that when I saw as, like, say, an 8-year-old or 9-year-old kid, it terrified me. And I mean, it fucking terrified me. Okay? So when I got onto the next level to what we're talking about now, The Shining, it was like, wow. Because you're like, as an adult, when you get from adolescence, you know, from childhood to adolescence to adult, you're always looking for the next film that's going to terrify you, you know?
Yeah.
Most of the modern movies are trying too hard. I think all three of us would agree.
Well, I think a lot of movies, especially more recently, just jump scares is all they care about.
Yeah. Exactly.
Jump scares don't save you.
They scare you for that couple of seconds, but they don't stay with you.
Yeah. Exactly. Whereas The Shining has like a long lasting effect. Like, I mean, you see Jack Nicholson there, like, and the character, you know, he's just called Jack. You know, the character, he's working, and then the wife goes down and she sees all he's doing is writing the same thing. All but then, work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. You know,
it's like Joe was saying about Jaws, like a lasting effect on him. You know,
yeah.
Jenny, I'm still afraid of open water because of that movie.
That's right, like, you know, and that's, you know,
that's
okay.
The power of movie,
you do have your jump scares, but you do have your jump scares in that as well. You know, when the shark first pops up, you get a bit of a fright, but it's a lasting effect. It's not just instant gratification. It's right, we've built something. And we've given you more than just, oh, here's something popping out of a doorway.
Yeah, you know,
it's more than that. But on The Shining, did you see that they're releasing, it's not The Shining 2, but it's not a remake either. It's called Doctor Sleep.
Yeah, it's, what's his name is going to be in it? Our Scottish boy, what's his name?
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor is going to be in it, yeah.
That could be interesting now. I don't know, like, it could be bad, it could be good, but it looks interesting anyway.
Yeah, one thing about The Shining I always found strange was that Stephen King hates it.
Yeah, he does, yeah. He didn't like how it came out.
Yeah, it's nothing like his book.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a big fan of Stephen King in terms of... I know you are as well, Joe. Like, I've read a lot of Stephen King stuff. But I'm a big fan of Stephen King, you know, the guy as well, because I like hearing what he... The next big thing now, I guess... Sorry, I'm segueing as I always do. He didn't like it purely because of a lot of different things, because Stanley Kubrick kind of made it his own, and he kind of...
Oh, yeah, it's nothing like his book, yeah, that's what he hates.
He's kind of done a lot of bully boy tactics on the chick that was in it as well. She's absolutely in an
Shelley
awful...
Duvall.
Yeah, she's in an awful state now. I don't know whether anyone's ever seen her on, like, Dr. Phil.
No.
Well, it's worth checking out. Type in Shelley Duvall and Dr. Phil. That's her nowadays. She's living on her own, isolated in the wilderness with cats, like, living on her shoulder. And dirty fingernails and stuff, like, she's turned into a crazy cat woman, and it's really, really sad. Legit.
Yeah, well, Kubrick treated her like dog shit on set. Like,
no, he did. He did, to get the best out of her, and it's funny because the way she talks now is that, like, you can tell that something happened to her, not just with Kubrick, I think with a lot of Hollywood actors and stuff. This whole Me Too movement, all jumped on it and stuff. It was nothing to do with that. It was just the girl had really bad psychological issues, and it's really sad to see now. But what a movie! And I mean, that's the kind of consequences that poor lady had to go through to bring us that movie. So spare a thought for her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Phenomenal film though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Correct.
So I guess that brings us on to Ted and then Joe. So Ted, you can go, and then Joe.
Yeah, The Crow, the original one, not any sequels.
Hell yes.
What a film. Obviously, I think the intended plan was probably for him to continue on, but obviously untimely death.
Based on the comic book series, of course, they wanted to keep that going, yeah.
Yeah, well, they did make subsequent films, but I think the plan was for him to continue as the Crow, but obviously that didn't happen. But a film.
Brandon Lee is his name.
Brandon Lee,
Lee's son, of course, yeah.
Yeah, it was a strange death. It was meant to be in a blank gun, and it wasn't blank, and he was shot on set. It's weird.
Yeah, it's one of those conspiracy theories.
I thought it was that the blank went off too close to his face or something.
No, Joe.
No, it was meant to be a blank. It was meant to be a blank, but it wasn't. There wasn't a blank.
Okay, right.
So
no, it was a legit bullet. Yeah, it was.
It was weird because, you know, the members on set swore they checked it and it was blank, and they have no idea how it happened, and it's just like a freak thing. But apparently there was loads of stuff on that film, like, where there was lots of freaky stuff like that happening. Obviously, no one else got, you know, lost their life or anything, but apparently there was loads of freaky stuff in the film and that. But what a film. And obviously then it transcended over into Sting as well.
Next for me is The Last Samurai.
With
Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Phenomenal movie.
That movie. I cried so much at the end, every single time. I am in bits. In absolute bits. I absolutely love that movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've got Tom Cruise at his best, Ken Watanabe, who I never even heard of until I saw that movie. And I think that movie is what broke him into Hollywood, was it?
Yeah.
I think it was a big deal, yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, Billy Connolly makes an appearance.
Listen, my favorite. Like, you know, as soon as you mention Billy Connolly, Joe, you know you've got me, don't you?
Yeah. No, it's just a phenomenally well-made movie, and just the story, the music, the cinematography is just, as I said, and also, like, I cry like a baby every single time I watch it. I just absolutely love it. I think it's fantastic.
Okay. So that brings me to my next one, which is I've gone for Raging Bull.
Yeah, great movie.
Going back to Christian Bale and talking about putting weight on, gaining weight, losing weight, blah blah blah. this is Robert De Niro at his absolute finest. Watch the documentary on the movie, which is available on YouTube for anyone that hasn't seen it. When he put his fat on, he was literally just eating cheeseburgers nonstop, morning, noon, and night. Just man, what a movie! The story of Jake LaMotta, one of the most fierce boxers of all time.
So that's Scorsese again, is it?
It is.
Bit of a theme going on there.
Yeah, there is a bit of a... I promise I'm not getting any kickback from any Scorsese shit on this. But, yeah, no, that's really true. Yeah, it is a Scorsese film. Obviously, you guys know my passion for boxing. So
yeah.
I know the story of Jake LaMotta regardless. So... Yeah, like, I mean, talk about De Niro nailing something. He nailed it. And the funny thing about it is, I was going to choose between this and The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg and obviously, Christian Bale.
Yeah.
But when I weighed the two movies up, it was just... the performance from De Niro was too real that... I had to go for this one.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it would have been mad to go with The Fighter over.
Yeah, it was just too good. So that's my number 8 pick, guys.
My next one was Battle Royale.
Oh, Christ, what a movie.
Yeah. Have you seen that, Ian?
The Japanese one?
The first one, not the second one, it was kind of what
Stone Cold's crew tried to base his film on when they were on the island.
The Condemned.
It's very similar to what's the name of it?
Do you want to know the truth though? I've never seen it.
Oh man, it's so good.
I swear down, but I might watch it now in a while. But although Joe has something else for me to watch, so...
Hunger Games was the one I was thinking of. That's loosely based on this as well. But, my God, like, if you're not someone who's into, you know, reading subtitles, which, first of all, I don't get anyway. Subtitles are easy. People who think it distracts from the film, you stop realizing you're reading them after about 30 seconds. But this film isn't for you. It's unless you're fluent in Japanese or whatever, which I'm not.
I love subtitles. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm a subtitles guy. I'd watch anything with subtitles on it, whether it's in English or not. I'm happy to have subtitles on as well. But what a film, like.
Well, for example, like J-horror for me is number one. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember, and this is not to take away from that film, but just as an example. Everyone knows about the Ring? Is that what it was called?
The Ring, yeah.
Yeah, the horror film, The Ring.
Yeah.
The Ring and the Grudge as well.
Well, I remember, and this is a very true story, I remember all my parents going away on a 2-week holiday to Greece. I was left alone, and I believe, Joe, that you probably got a phone call during this point to come over. Because I ended up watching, it was on the Sci-Fi channel, it was the original one. It was called Ju-On. Do you remember?
No, I don't know.
It was called, Jesus H. Christ, Greg will remember this now. It was the original Ring. It was basically The Ring, but it was in subtitles. But I remember the filmography. It was really dull. Like, they filmed it dull as well. Like, so they...
Oh, yeah, it was filmed in, like, grainy footage.
Yeah, like, they made it really... Ringu, that was it. Ringu. My apologies. So it was called Ringu. And that was the whole idea of the bitch with the fucking long hair covering her face coming out of the well.
Yeah.
And, like, once you watched the videotape, that was it. You were dead, regardless.
7 days, yeah, 7 days.
Didn't matter who the fuck you were. And the chick goes in and sees her son watching it, and she's like, get the fuck away. And all that was... So, subtitles, man. I'm telling you, if all you guys... Anyone's listening to this show, that wants to be scared and wants proper scares, but you're not afraid to read subtitles, just watch J-Horror. It's that easy. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if Battle Royale would be considered.
Oh, no, it's not a horror. It's brutal, though. It is just brutal.
Okay.
It's an absolute gore fest, yeah.
Okay.
Like, Ian, this is right. So the premise of this, like, and this isn't a spoiler because this is what you read on the back of the DVD box or whatever. Okay. The premise is that Japanese school children have become so, you know, misbehaved and disrespectful that they decide that once a year they're going to take one class at random, and they're going to take the class of 30 and just drop them into an island, right? And then they'll have these devices put around their neck, which are essentially bombs, right? That will blow up after 3 days. So you're dead if you're still alive after 3 days. And
unless you're the only survivor, isn't it?
Unless you're the last survivor, then you don't die. But essentially, you are being forced to kill your classmates. But it's not just your classmates, because for some random reason, there's a few extra people who are kind of like, yeah, it sounds cool to me, and they join up as well, putting their life completely on the line. And the whole premise is, can you be the last one to be alive while you, like, butcher your classmates? And everyone's given a bag with something in it. Some people get weapons, some get stuff that's, like, you know, a tracker that can tell you if someone's coming close to you so you can hide and stuff. But then other people are getting, like, crossbow bolts and guns. And, like, that's it. That's all it is. And if they're trapped on this little island, and they just have to massacre each other.
Now, a lot of people might think when they're listening that it's, you know, that it sounds very like the Hunger Games. But
this is pre-Hunger Games, yeah.
Before it, like, yeah, way, way before.
And the Hunger Games is like children's play compared to this.
This is a complete child's play compared to
this is the original Hunger Games, and this is brutal stuff.
Okay, I like it. I'm already emotionally invested in this now.
Oh, it's so good.
It's quality.
No, is there any dick flips?
No.
No.
Oh, no, it's real storytelling, isn't it? Sorry. Yeah. Fuck you, Joey Ryan. Right, let's get on to the next one.
Ah, you're sound loud, Joey.
Fuck Joey Ryan. Let's get on to the next one.
So I'm into my top two now.
Yeah,
I think I would be after this, I'd be into my top two as well, yeah.
Fuck Joey Ryan. Joey, you ready?
Yeah. So next one on mine is Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I remember going to see this in the cinema, and
you went to the cinema to see that?
Yeah, of course I did.
How old?
And
were you?
I can't remember. What was
but it was Bray Cinema. All you had to do was tell them what age you were. Are you 18? Yeah. Two little 7-year-old walking up. Yeah, I'm 18. Yeah, grand. Let him in.
But I went to see this, and that D-Day scene just blew my fucking mind. Like, as soon as that ramp dropped and the lads got, you know, mown down like dominoes, my jaw dropped. And I don't think I closed my mouth until the end of the movie, like, until after the credits. It was just so good. And I, as I said, I still love it. Today, like, I can watch it in a loop. Like, it's absolutely phenomenal. Like, Tom Hanks is unreal in it. Tom Sizemore is unreal in it. You know, the whole cast are just phenomenal. It's just brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, that's quality, fellow.
Yeah, like, I can't disagree with any of that, to be honest with you.
It's another Spielberg one from now. Three Spielbergs in my top.
So you're Spielberg, I'm Scorsese.
What's your next Scorsese one there, Ian?
Well, my next one, that was really well played. My next one is The Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, guys, I had a bit of an attack of the sneezes there, so you have to bear with me.
No, right? Can't.
But, yeah.
Yeah, what a film that is now.
It's a movie, like, again, we're getting into the kind of realistic side of thriller.
Yeah.
And it is a thriller movie. I think Anthony Hopkins, who is another guy that should have been an honourable mention.
But he's done quite a few duds, though, in his time as well.
He has, but, I mean, in terms of the Hannibal Lecter character.
Oh, he played it perfectly, yeah.
Jodie Foster is brilliant in that as well. Like, let's not ignore her.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
She's fantastic in it. And, you know, and as Ted said, like, Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter, like, just that shot where they introduce him.
Yeah.
He's walking in the hall, and just that shot of him standing there is...
Oh, he crushes it, he does.
Yeah.
Huh?
He absolutely crushes the role, he does. He's just so good.
And he's actually not in that much of it.
No, but that's the brilliance of him, yeah. The bits he makes such an impact on those bits.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, if you watch that and then don't watch it for years, you remember him being in it a lot. You're like, oh yeah, he's in loads of that. And then you go back and watch it, and you're like, man, he's not in this at all, really.
Yeah, he's in very little of it. Yeah.
But you remember the bits he was in so well that you're convinced that the entire film is kind of focusing on him, which isn't the case at all. Like,
well, it's like a really well run wrestling program. You don't need your top guy to be to be in all of the scenes. It's the same way WCW used to do it really well at times. With Sting, you didn't see Sting all the time, but when he appeared, it meant a whole lot more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the reason I used the Sting character, because obviously you've got, you know, John Cena and, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Stone Cold Steve Austin always made an appearance, whereas Sting, for some weeks, wouldn't make an appearance on a Nitro, you know, for maybe 2 months on end. And then all of a sudden you saw Sting and you were like, oh my God, it's Sting. But yet, the whole central point of the story was based around Sting. It was just unfortunate that they had writers that couldn't fucking keep the longevity of that going. You know what I mean? So, the reason I always bring it back to wrestling is A, for the listeners, but B, also to show that, it's not a, it's not a hard thing to do to stick to a script or to stick to a point even. What you guys said there is storytelling 101. You've got a guy that's a central part in the story, i.e. in this case is Hannibal Lecter, and with those few scenes that he has, it stands out, you know. And
yeah, he makes you remember him.
Exactly. So that's the point I'm making. I'm sure you would agree, Joe.
Well, I don't fully know, to be honest. He's not written to be a main character. It's just that Hopkins played him so well that he became a pivotal character. I think if he was played by almost any other actor or someone of a lesser caliber, that movie wouldn't be talked about.
Well, you can't say he's not written to be a main character. I mean, if there's a
he's not. He's in very little of it.
No, but you don't know what way the director wanted him to be played. Obviously, the director wanted him to be a main character. We're talking about the movie, not the book.
Yeah, I know. I'm talking about the movie. He's in very little of the movie.
Yeah, but obviously, the director wanted him to be a main character.
It's weird. He's like, he's the antagonist in it, but he's the antagonist in that he's in her mind more than he's in the film.
Yeah, yeah.
If that makes sense.
That's actually...
The audience is mine as well.
No, that's fair. That's fair, yeah.
Because it was just an iconic character.
It was done very well.
That's fair.
In a very good movie. And even if he wasn't in it, it still would have been a good movie.
And he's really good.
He just makes it better,
It's elevated onto another plane with that performance.
He's also really good in the sequels as well. He's the only thing from the sequels, to be honest with you. Red Dragon, and like he's really good in it, you know. And then he's the main character in that. But no, for me, Silence of the Lambs, again, one of those movies, there's a bit of a trend here that I like. It was dark, very dark. I mean, one of the scariest things in cinematography ever for me is when like she's walking around with the with the goggles on. The, you know, when she's
Buffalo Bill has the goggles on.
You what?
It's Buffalo Bill has the goggles on.
Sorry, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. And she's holding the gun. And that, and yeah, again, Joe. American, yeah. Yeah, and Joe, again, it goes back to what you just said. Sorry, I do apologize. He obviously had the goggles on, so he was in control. But like her, she is fucking shitting it, and you know what? One of the best pieces of acting showed that she was shitting it. Like the way she sold the hand going nonstop, and the breathing that she done. Yeah, she deserves every mention as much as Hopkins does. So,
yeah,
phenomenal. Ted.
Yeah, so second on my list was one that's it's really new, but it's a part of this is also the build up that got to it, and Avengers Endgame. I'm massive into all the comic books and stuff, and
me too.
It's been 10 years building towards this, and this film was just, it was brilliant. I think it's finally broken the biggest box office now. Not that shows anything in terms of how good a film can or can't be, but it shows just how popular, and it's not just this film, but like all the people and the films before it helped build to this. But they made, you know, superheroes cool in that way, you know. When you were young, when I was younger, liking superheroes and comics and all that sort of stuff, you know, that was for nerds, and it wasn't for the cool people and stuff, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
These films have brought it to that, and this is the pinnacle, or the last one. Like, I debated between this and Thor Ragnarok, because I thought Thor Ragnarok is one of the best they've done.
Yeah.
But this one just, it's the culmination of everything.
You know, it was phenomenal for me, because Ted, you know, I'm a
major, you're big into it like me as well, man.
Major comic book guy, you know that as well, Joe. Yeah, I thought it was phenomenal.
I haven't seen it, so.
Have you watched up until then, or have you just didn't kind of get into
way
it?
I'm way behind.
Yeah. Well, it's worth watching up to, but like, you obviously have a lot of, you have to watch all the other stuff to.
Oh yeah, no, I just have an awful lot of catching up to do. And
he will
watch it though, Ted.
It is a lot to catch up on. If you get left behind even a little bit, then it's a lot of time to put in. But it for me, this was one of the best films I've seen in a long time. It's still in the cinema at the moment, and it's been there for months now. And just absolutely loved.
Because it's that good.
Yeah, well, it's obviously still making money if it's still there, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a very new one, and some people might say, "Oh, does it deserve to be put into a list of that?" From like, you know, it's hasn't stood the test of time, but like that will stand the test of time.
Yeah, I agree. So, Joe.
Yeah. So my
last, is it, Joe?
Yeah, my numero uno. I absolutely love this movie. It got a mention from me earlier. It's Aliens.
Okay.
I fucking love that movie.
And is it the first one? Is the first one your favorite, or would there be?
No, because that's Alien. This is Aliens, the sequel, plural.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, do you feel that the build up to that, to Aliens itself, is makes it as good, or do you think as a standalone this would just be?
Well, to be honest, I saw Aliens before I saw Alien.
Okay, so you would feel that as a standalone it would be.
Yeah, I saw it as a standalone.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Instantly fell in love with it. Now, of course, I've seen Alien since, and I love that movie too.
Yeah, but this was the first for you as well.
Yeah, Aliens for me is just,
yeah,
I absolutely love everything about it. And the extended edition is brilliant as well. There isn't enough I can say about this movie. Like, I absolutely love every bit of it. There's nothing about it I don't like.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would be with you on that.
I think the suspense that's built in us, the action that's in us, the characters, it's just, you know, the setting, it's just absolutely phenomenal. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I agree.
And was that the second in the series, or
that's the second? Yeah.
There's three.
The four.
Oh, yeah, no, it's very good as well. To be fair,
four. I know there's four, Joe, but like there's three to me that stand out though.
Yeah, Alien, Aliens, and Alien 3. Yeah. A lot of people don't like Alien 3, but I do.
No, I love Alien 3 because obviously you know Barry. Like Barry was always like that was my first introduction to Alien.
Oh, it was Alien 3, really? Yeah,
for sure, man. Yeah.
Mine was Aliens, and as I said, I've loved it ever since.
Yeah, so I can definitely see why it'd be up there as well. Yeah.
And as I said, like Bill Paxton, that's where it was, that movie where I fell in love with him.
Yeah, you were saying.
So, you know, I actually usually watch, a lot of the time when I watch that movie, I stop watching it after Hudson dies.
that's all you care about.
Well, it's kind of terrible because it's really, really good after that as well. Like, you know, you have to fight in the power loader and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So I'm a fucking idiot for turning it off. but sometimes, I shouldn't say all the time, but like sometimes I do just kind of go, oh, Hudson's dead now. I don't want to watch it anymore.
Yeah, well, sometimes I think that's, you just want to see to a certain part and you're like, once I get there and...
Yeah, but, you know, but every time I do watch Beyond Us, which is, you know, to be fair,
you enjoy it as well.
I still love it. It's a fantastic movie.
Your number one, Ian? Or, well, I suppose yours haven't been in any particular order, but...
Born on the 4th of July.
Oh, cracking movie.
For anyone that hasn't seen it, it's a Tom Cruise movie. Basically, the premise of the story is that he has been in Vietnam and he comes back without the use of his legs. But he's still a young man. He's still only about 19 or 20 years old. And they're all holding a big welcome home party for him. And he's a very bitter man. Would I be right in saying that, Joe?
Yeah, well, he's not given a very nice reception when he gets back.
Yeah, but they...
Because Vietnam was a very unpopular war.
Well, his family held a party for him. And he doesn't feel welcome home.
Yeah, you know, and he's lost the use of his legs and stuff like that. Like.
Yeah.
Is that based on a true story or is that just...
No, well, I mean, I'm sure it could be based on any true story from fucking...
Oh, yeah, but it's not based off a specific true story either, is it? It's just,
No, I think it's kind of an amalgamation of a lot of veterans.
Of a lot of people from that war,
And directed by Oliver Stone, who was in Vietnam as well and came back from it too. So
and who isn't Scorsese.
Finally moved off Scorsese.
Yeah. Another great Vietnam movie he made, Platoon, which is just phenomenal. Really.
Well, like the way I look at it is, it's phenomenal. I thought... for me, Born on the 4th of July is just one of the kind of movies that always stood out to me. When I watched it as a kid, like, you know, when you're a kid, you know, you're free at the weekends. My weekends were, you know, out of Bray. They were, go out and stay in your mom and dad's, well, out in your mom's, should I say. My dad's in Bray. He'll kill me for that. Go out and stay in your mom's. Watch whatever you want, just watch the TV, you know? So that's what I did. I just watched TV. And I remember seeing that on, like, maybe it was RTE, maybe it was BBC, I'm not sure. It was on one night and I watched it from start to finish. And I remember it just having a huge impact, going, wow, that's phenomenal.
And Tom Cruise is a powerhouse in it as well.
Like, that was the thing. He's such a fucking good actor in it. Like, anyone that says Tom Cruise is just all smiles and teeth and not a good actor is a moron.
Oh, no, he's always been a good actor. It's just, you know, part of it was that he had that rep as the pretty boy, you know, smiles and teeth and stuff.
It's the Scientology thing that people hate, which is fine. Listen, Scientology is bullshit, but so is Catholicism. So I don't give a bollocks. I like, I heard that. So is Catholicism. Anyone listening to this, if you're offended by that, go fucking fuck a goat and not listen to this show again, please. Because you'd be doing me a favour instead of me having to watch my tongue and me and my friends having to watch our tongue. But the fact of the matter is, if you're going to judge someone on their religious beliefs and what they like and what they do, and you're going to spin a media yarn to make them, you know, to make them less kind of attractive to the view in public, you're just a fucking piece of shit. It's simple as that. Do you know what I mean? Nobody cares. This show isn't about politics. Movies shouldn't be about politics either, unless the actual narrative of the show is politics. But the guys portraying them and the girls portraying them shouldn't be judged based on that. Would you agree, guys?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You should be able to separate the artist from their personal life.
Exactly. And Tom Cruise is a perfect example of people going, oh, he's a fucking piece of shit because of this, because of Scientology and blah, blah, blah. Who cares what he likes? Millionaires have lots of money and they don't know what to do with it. We know that. But leave them to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, just leave them to it. I've always been a big defender of the Cruise Meister. So, and I'll continue to be so. I just find it really annoying when people sitting on their couch are just judging other people. And, you know, basically shitting all over the 4th of July, which is a great movie. And that's my number four pick, guys.
Who the hell shits on that? Because they're an idiot if they do. Like,
I just threw it in there to make it seem better and kind of segue it into the end of my promo there.
Anyone that shits on that movie is phenomenal.
Oh, Joe's getting annoyed now. He's getting muffled. What's up, Joe?
No, I'm just saying if anyone thinks that movie is shit, they should be shot because it's bloody brilliant.
I agree. And you're quite proud of me for actually picking that one, I guess.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah. So.
So I just had my last one, which was number one. I think, Ian, you should know what I'm going to put here, regardless of how everyone believes Space what should Jam. Be number one. Yeah, Space Jam. Space Jam is the greatest film ever made, lads, right? It's so good. It's got everything you could ever want. It's family friendly. It's got fucking Michael Jordan. It's got Bill Murray. It's got Larry Bird. And then on top of that, you've got all the Looney Tunes. It's the greatest film ever made,
it's
lads.
It's not really family friendly because you're becoming very controversial more and more, Ted. And you know what I'm talking about.
No, Space Jam is very family friendly.
You believe you can fly, do you?
Yeah, that's the song. That's a song, man. That, you know, that's part of the music. That's
part of the film now.
Nah, the film itself is perfectly fine, all family friendly.
Joe, he's becoming controversial, isn't he?
No, as I said, separate the art from the personal life. You know.
Yeah, but it's a great film.
It's R. Kelly, though.
Pardon?
It's R. Kelly we're talking about here, though.
But I have to say, forgetting about all that. The greatest film ever made is still Space Jam. It's got absolutely everything, right? I won't hear a word against it.
Except R. Kelly pisses on people.
Charles Barkley, doesn't it?
It does. It has Patrick Ewing in it as well. It's the cast is unbelievable.
Yeah,
they're
but
making
Chelsea
a second
Ross
one.
Barkley
whether that's going to be good or not is questionable, but the original best film ever made, lads.
I haven't seen it in donkey's years, not since I was a kid. No,
well, you should watch it again. It's got Bill Murray in it, right? That tells you, you know, Bill Murray was a serious actor. He wouldn't be in something like that. And he even gets called Dan Aykroyd in it.
I'll have to check it out again. That's
on this note.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. It's the greatest film ever made.
On this note, Joe, thank you for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure. It's been a long fucking pleasure.
Long old podcast
and not being very pleasant.
Thanks a million for having me, lad.
Joe, it's good crack having you on.
It's been good to chat.
There'd be no complaint about Macho Man, no?
No, not about Macho Man. Maybe I might have to put one up about Will Ferrell, maybe.
why wasn't Spider-Man in one of your top films of all time?
because I don't like any of the Spider-Man films.
So. But Macho Man was in it.
He was.
On this one, Dynamo is over and out.